I want to mature and grow in Jesus Christ. Amen. How about you? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I found out over the years and how to mature in Jesus Christ, hallelujah, is at the end of the year to take inventory of your life in the past. Your past successes and your past failures. And the reason why, for your past successes, not to live in the past, but to take inventory of what you did successfully in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. To keep your faith raised to a higher level. The Word of God tells us that we go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from one measure of faith to a new measure of faith. That's maturity. That's growing. And if we remain the same every year, never growing but remaining in justification and never into sanctification and beyond, and in that, hallelujah, we'll never grow and mature in Christ. So therefore, I take inventory of my own personal life, my past successes, and my past failures. I remember Einstein had once said that if we do not fail, we'll never learn to succeed. Makes sense, doesn't it? If we never fail, we'll never learn to succeed. So we got to look at our failures and say, how can I do this better next year? Me, for example, I didn't minister enough of the gospel to people while I was working. And on the long the way, people would be walking their dog, especially those that the Lord told me, go and tell them about me. Amen. That was my failures. I didn't step out in that realm. I stepped out in other realms of faith, glory to God, believing that God can use someone like me to heal the sick. There are some people that were healed by these hands. That's not to brag and boast about me. That's to brag and boast about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just a vessel and a tool for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But in order to be used like that, you have to have faith. Amen. So we look at our past successes and our past failures, and how can we do things better? And that's what I always do at the end of every season, at the end of every year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because God is calling us to cross over the Jordan into the Promised Land. I love how you ministered that, brother. Brother Rudy had ministered a couple weeks ago, spiritually speaking. We start in the wilderness, but we're supposed to end up in the Promised Land. And now, the Promised Land in the Old Testament is the physical Promised Land, Israel. Right? From the bondage and slavery of Egypt into the Promised Land, into salvation. Okay? So it's a type and shadow of the spiritual application of heaven. Right? But what does that mean on this earth in the now? Spiritually. It means simply to cross over from the wilderness into the Promised Land. The Promised Land is being used as promised by God. Amen? The full capacity of the gospel. The demonstration of the power of God. Faith, obedience. Hallelujah. That's what the Promised Land is. And we're supposed to be there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Does this make any sense? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And so this message, the Lord entitles, Committed to God, the Holy Trinity. That's how we're supposed to enter into the Promised Land, by being committed to God, the Holy Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. If you turn with me to Psalms chapter 101. We'll start there. And it reads, I will sing of mercy, this is verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, an obedient heart. Amen? A committed heart, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means, a perfect heart. To walk in the paths of righteousness, amen? That's what he means by perfection. Hallelujah, being obedient to God. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn away. That turn away from the Lord, that turn away from the Word of God. I hate those ways, amen? It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slander his neighbor, him I will cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart, will I not suffer? Will I not take? Amen? Will I not endure? Amen? Because these are things are wickedness. These are apart from Jesus Christ and His ways. Amen? Those ways will not cling to me. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your word. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you minister through me, Lord God, to convey clearly what you want from us this coming year, Lord God. I thank you, Father God. I ask that you anoint this message and to bless it and to bless everybody here, Lord God. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. May you be seated. Glory to God. In fact, the scripture we just read here, it reflects our covenant with Christ, with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It reflects the covenant that we have in the Lord. Again, it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. First off, it says, I will praise the Lord. Amen. I will worship the Lord with songs, right? I will sing unto the Lord. I will worship Him also in my walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way, in an obedient way, a committed way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Amen. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside, that fall away from the Lord Jesus Christ, those who become lazy spiritually. Amen. Or compromising. That's the covenant we have in Christ. When we committed our hearts at the altar of Jesus Christ, we said in our hearts, Lord, save me, right? And I will walk your ways. I will be committed to you. That's what the altar really means. You saved my life. I will be committed to you. Amen? Glory to God. What does the word commitment mean? Because in today's standard, it's so wishy-washy, so compromised. Right? Perverted, if you will. A lot of the times our commitment has conditions. I'll do this if you do that. That's not how God works. Amen? Glory to God. So what does commitment mean? To bind as a pledge or promise. To bind as a pledge or promise. When we gave our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we pledged ourselves, we committed ourselves to the Lord, saying, I will walk as you had walked, Lord God, as long as you give me the ability to, because I can't do this on my own. Amen? And so therefore, He gave us His Holy Spirit in order to walk this life, holy and pleasing to God as our reasonable service, according to His Scriptures. Amen? Praise the Lord. To bind as a pledge or promise. And even Jesus has said, do not make an oath, because He cannot make your hair white or black. It's your yes be yes and your no's no. Anything else comes from the devil. That's a fact. So we made a promise to the Lord in salvation. What does the word bind mean? To hold in subjection. Yeah? To hold in subjection. What does subjection mean? Under authority or control of another. That's how Webster defines. And so a great example is found in the book of Exodus in the wilderness experience. The wilderness days of the Jewish people. Going into the promised land, from bondage and slavery into the promised land. That's where God wanted them. Hallelujah. So God delivered them from bondage and slavery of Egypt to go into the promised land. And so when God would stop the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, when God stopped, they camped. And when God moved, they moved with them. Amen? Too many of us today have gone way too far ahead of the Lord and has messed things up. Moses did. The more that I read the scriptures in the book of Exodus, when he realized that he was a Jew in a Gentile country, notice what he was doing. He was acting out his calling. I believe he knew his calling beforehand. The reason why I say that is because when he saw an Egyptian taskmaster or a slave driver beating a Jewish slave, Moses stopped it, right? Unfortunately, he killed an Egyptian. When two Jewish brothers were fighting against each other, he stopped it. And he told them, why, brothers, are you fighting against each other? Amen. Glory to God. He was a voice of reason. Amen. But one of the Jewish brothers said, are you going to kill me like you did an Egyptian? Then he realized, wait a minute, I got to flee. Because he knows the law. He's been born and raised in Egypt, in the way of Egyptian culture. So for 40 years, because he was 40 years old at this point, when he killed an Egyptian, 40 years old, he knows the law, the royal law. And if you kill an Egyptian, you will be put to death. That is the royal law in Egypt. So he knew he had to flee. Amen. Glory to God. See, he got ahead of himself in the Lord. That's why he acted, and I believe he acted because he knew his calling, but he got ahead of the Lord. Does that make sense? But then there are people today whom the Lord gives rest spiritually. When you work for the Lord, he does give you a season of rest so you can regroup in his word. Amen? Not to flesh out and lays out, right? But if we camp too long, we'll miss God that way. Christianity is exactly like that. God gives them a little time of rest, and they enjoy it too much. And they stay there and go no further into sanctification. Or they get way too far ahead, they mess things up, and they miss the Lord. That's the way it is today. But we're supposed to stay pliable, amen? Obedient to the Lord, committed to the Lord, and sensitive in the Lord. To know His moving when He gets up and when He sits down. Amen? Glory to God. That's our relationship today. It has never changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Amen. God has taught His children everything we need to know, Old and New Testament. They both go hand in hand. And He still operates that same way today. God has never changed. Amen. The veiled Christ in the Old Testament, the unveiled Christ in the New, is a show and tell God. He showed His children how to live according to the Old Testament. Right? Even by faith. God has always taught faith, but they didn't get it. They kept it external instead of from the heart. God always preached from the heart in the Old Testament. We'll get into that a little later. But the Jewish people never got it. They never got it from the heart. They thought it was just external. If I do this, if I do that. Amen? But it was never from the heart. Saying, I have a relationship with God. Therefore, I want to live right. I want to live holy. I want to live a powerful, faithful life, glory to God, from the heart. And that's where it's supposed to have started, but they never got it. Thought it was all external. And so how do we stay sensitive in the Lord? By staying obedient, committed to God. Amen? Hallelujah. What does commitment look like in action? The Bible tells us much about it in the way of showing. Now, Jesus in the New Testament taught, so He told. Amen? Show and tell. The Apostle Paul is a prime example of what commitment looks like. Amen? If you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 6. And it says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Timothy right there received the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit through the laying of the hands of the Apostle Paul. That's what he's saying. And stir it up. Don't allow the gifts that was given you be dormant. And did you know that the gifts that we're given and we don't use them, God's going to judge us for that. Oh yeah. That's a serious thing. When you know to do what is right and you don't do it, is sin. That's what sin is in short. And the things we know is wrong to do, yet we do, is sin. Not doing anything for the Lord when He calls you to do something. When He tells you to do something, you don't do it, it is sin. Now, He will forgive. He always gives a second chance, glory to God, because we're learning. This is what sanctification is, to learn how to please God. Holiness is not natural. Unholiness is. Sin is natural to us, the sin nature. We're born into sin through Adam and Eve's rebellion against God. We're all guilty. All humanity is guilty of it. And all are going to hell unless they repent. That's God's standards. So sin is natural. Have you ever realized that you don't have to learn how to sin? It just comes to you. Because it's natural. But holiness is unnatural to us. That's why we must be born again by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, raised from the dead of sin unto the life of Jesus, being a new creation. For the old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. That's Christianity. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 6. Wherefore, stirring up the gifts of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. That's what a true Christian looks like. Of power, the power of God, and of love, the love of the brethren, and the love of people who are dying and going to hell. Not their sins, but the people, the person that don't know Jesus Christ. To love them, to tell them the truth. Why? If we withhold truth, that's hate. If we preach the truth, that's loving people. Amen. Christianity today knows how to love people to hell. Oh, God bless you. But don't tell them the truth about anything. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Prisoner. Prisoner of Christ? Yeah. Bound by authority? But he's talking about physically. He was in Rome, bound in chains in prison for the gospel that he preached of Jesus Christ. And he's talking about being imprisoned in Rome. And he wrote many letters in Rome, waiting for his trial. 2 years of waiting. Does that sound like today? Never changed, has it? But anyways, he was waiting, and so he was ministering through letters, encouraging Timothy here. He said, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And that's what Jesus had promised. You will go through trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's John chapter 16, verse 33. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. He did never promise us a rose garden, but he did tell us that when we're obedient to him, we will go through the persecutions, but be of good cheer. And that's what the Apostle Paul is going through because of the cause of Christ. It's going to happen. I don't look forward to going through it, but I don't want to be afraid of it either. Because if we're afraid of that, then we won't do what God has called us to do. Preach the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, not according to our might or strength, but according to His purpose, His own purpose, God's own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Illumination. Illuminating the truth through the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who unto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen? Committed. The Apostle Paul committed his life. And he talks about suffering. Suffering what? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 tells us what he suffered. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Stripes meaning lashes. Whipped. Okay? Beaten. Stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In death. Often. You know, he was stoned to death with stones for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Meaning he was whipped 40 times minus one, so he was whipped 39 times. Glory to God. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned with stones. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, and night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of by my own countrymen, the Jewish people, in perils by the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, and in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. That's why he went through what he went through. First off, he was committed to Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel. Amen. To preach the gospel to those who don't know God. to make disciples, to start churches. Amen. Commitment. That's commitment. I'll go through anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, his life is summed up in one chapter, in Philippians chapter 3, of why he actually went through all these things as proof. Amen. Being committed to Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 8. And it tells us, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung as rubbish, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, being conformed into His image and likeness, and in the faith and the power of Jesus Christ. And so He suffered much for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's commitment. And He never gave it up. Never gave up. Amen. Commitment. The word commitment in the New Testament is the same phrase in the Old Testament as the fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of the Lord means to be afraid to sin against God. Why? Because sin separates us from communion with God. Light will not fellowship with darkness. Therefore, God cannot fellowship with sinners and heathens who have not come to full repentance. That's just a fact. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 through 3, it tells us that God will not hear our prayers because of sin. Amen? That's just a fact. Glory to God. We must lay it down at the altar to be committed. To commit all those old past sins unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And be committed to walk according to God's Word. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalms chapter 34 tells us further the fear of the Lord. Now starting in verse 8, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. It has faith in the Lord. Amen? O fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Shall not be in want of any good thing, because you are provided for. And you fear the Lord, amen? That's the blessings of fearing the Lord. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? This is how we fear the Lord. Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil. See, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Amen? To cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That's their lot in life. Those who do not come to repentance, they will not be remembered. But when you fear the Lord, blessed, committed to the Lord. Job chapter 28:28 says this, And unto man he, meaning God, said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. To know God's word, to know His instructions, to know God, is the fear of the Lord. And to run away from evil, to depart from evil, to repent from evil and sins and abominable sins and worldliness is understanding. To do God's word is understanding. To know God's word is the fear of the Lord, is wisdom. But to do the word of God is understanding. Hallelujah. He calls us into fellowship with Him through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's washed us in His blood. Amen. Hallelujah. To have fellowship with Him. Therefore, we become the righteousness of God through the blood, by faith, in Jesus Christ. That's Romans chapter 5, in a nutshell. Amen? Glory to God. Because again, light cannot fellowship with darkness. God cannot fellowship with heathens and sinners. That's why He had to wash us in His blood. Amen? To have fellowship with Him. To hear from God. Not just by His word, but His audible voice. That's a promise found in John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When you hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your heart. That's how we stay sensitive in God, by obedience. Amen? our call in sanctification. Too many of us stay at justification. Oh, I'm saved. I got fire insurance. It doesn't work like that. How God works is He illumines the truth in order for us to believe that Jesus is the Son of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. When we were sinners and heathens in the world, and when God revealed His only begotten Son to us in order to believe that He is the Messiah through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, therefore we came to repentance when we believe. Amen? So He saves us. He justifies us, right, for past sins. He wipes the slate clean, glory to God, through the blood of Jesus Christ by faith. Therefore, He calls us from there to sanctification, to walk as Jesus has walked, according to 1 John chapter 3. Amen? To be an image of Christ. To be an ambassador. An ambassador means a representative. We're to be representatives of Jesus Christ. Has Jesus sinned? No. Was Jesus lazy? No. He was obedient to even to the point of death. Glory to God. Commitment. Commitment. That's what He's called us to. And from sanctification to glorification. Sanctification is learning how to walk as Jesus has walked, to operate in the gifts as Jesus operated in. Right? Laying of the hands, heal the sick, make the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. But we must be committed in order for God to use us that way. Amen? We must be committed. So 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll start in verse 14. Be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith, saying the Lord. He's still saying. Amen? This is not of the Old Testament only. This is of the Old and New Testament. He's still saying, do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That is commitment. Commit all those old past sins and worldliness unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and He'll give you new life in Him. Glory to God. And you don't want to look back once you have a new life in Christ. You don't want to look back. Glory to God. When we fall short of the glory of God, He gives us a second chance. I failed in some things this past year. And so therefore, the Lord gives us a second chance when we fall short of the glory of God. When we grow weary to laziness spiritually, or is contemplating of giving up, or has already given up, or has compromised our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, or never started a committed walk, or never even started. There are people that have never even started a committed walk with Jesus Christ. This is what this message is for. Amen? Glory to God. And to remind us, do not stay camped. And do not be ahead of the Lord. Amen? Because in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, if my people, who are called by my name, not talking about worldly sinners and heathens who don't know God, it says my people, who are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I would hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. So simple. Glory to God. So simple. Amen. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'd hear from heaven, I would forgive their sins and heal their land. I'd hear from heaven. Too many of us today, I deal with people on the internet, they're waiting for God to deliver them from something, when all the while God is telling them, lay it down. Lay it down at the altar. Whatever it is. All throughout the Old and New Testament, it says to sanctify yourselves. To sanctify means to separate yourself. God is not to do that for us. He gives us the ability to lay down all those things that binds us or hinders us from our walk with Jesus Christ. He's given us the power to lay it down. Right? But too many of us are waiting for God. Oh Lord, take the desire out of my heart. That's not how it works. You lay it down and the desire will leave you. Amen. Glory to God. Commitment takes patience, endurance, and continuance in obedience to God and faithfulness. Uncompromising faithfulness, even in the face of opposition, persecution, and all adversities, even to the point of death. That's what real commitment looks like, and the Apostle Paul showed us that. He was committed to the point of death. He did die for the cause of Christ in Rome. The Bible never mentions it, but historically speaking, in Roman documentation of history, he was martyred to death for the cause of Christ, for preaching the gospel, because he stayed in Rome. Hallelujah. After he was set free, amen. So how do we become committed children of God? First decision. I don't know if you've ever heard the song, and I'm not trying to quote the song here. In the days of Elijah, these are the days of Elijah. Have you ever heard that song? Oh, okay. But we're living in the days of Elijah. You know what Elijah was called to do? He was called to prophesy to the children of Israel, to bring them to repentance. Because in the time, they were stuck in between two opinions. That's found in 1 Kings chapter 18. Stuck in between two opinions. Should we serve God or should we serve Baal? Okay. Not only that, but they tore down the altars. And when they tore down the altars of the Lord, therefore sin became rampant. There was no restraint anymore. Amen? There was no restraint. We're living in that exact very day. We can live however we want. We can live like the devil and still enter the kingdom of heaven. And that's not how it works. It's not how it works. We must make a decision. God Almighty, and from the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, always gave us two choices. From the very beginning. The tree of life, or the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Two trees. They could eat from the tree of life, but they could not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And they did. And that's how they rebelled against God. That one commandment. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, it tells us this. Hallelujah. Starting in verse 14, and it tells us, "But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before you this day life and good, and death and evil." Life and good, death and evil. Life and good, death and evil. Two roads. Amen? They do not merge unto each other. They're always separate. Amen? Sin, the devil, and worldliness. Or the narrow way that leads to eternal life. God's way to be happy, to be complete in the Lord, is to do things God's way. Through His Word. That's the road of righteousness that He leads us to. It's like in Psalms chapter 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. For He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Amen? And He'll never lead you to sin. "See, I have set before you life or death. I have set before you this day, life, good, death, and evil. And in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God with the heart." Not with external practices only, but with the heart. "To walk in His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou go to possess it." The promised land. To live right, to be used by God to bring people to Jesus Christ. There's people that won't come to Jesus Christ because they know the price that they have to pay. That's to lay down their life, to pick up the life of Jesus Christ that He has given us. They know it. They don't want to. They don't want it. They know the price, but they'll be quick to point out your sins, what you've done wrong. "Oh, how do you know this, man? You don't even know God." "Well, I know enough to know that you must live right." So they'll point our hypocrisies. That's why we've got to make a decision, because the world sees it. The world sees it. I'm not just talking about us. We're talking about the whole body of Christ in this nation. Stuck in between two opinions. Should we follow God or should we follow the ways of the world? You know, I've seen it where Christianity is blended in with the world and looks like the world and talks like the world. I'm not going to get all hung up on clothing and makeup and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going there. But I will say this. That God has called us to be separated from the ways and patterns of the sinful, fallen world. You know, the father of the world is the devil. The world does not know God. But our Father, the righteous, the children of God, is Father God. Creator of heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them. Amen? But we're stuck in two opinions today. They must make a decision. Just like in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it tells us the narrow way that leads to eternal life and the broad way that leads to destruction. And many go in by that way. And only a few will find that narrow way. Only a few. Because they never laid it all down at the altar of Jesus Christ. And second of all, once we made a decision, getting our priorities straight with God. Our priorities is as follows. God is first. Our family is second. Church is third priority. And work is last priority. And then God, if you want to be real radical about it. Why? Revelation chapter 22, starting in verse 13. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Alpha and the Omega, Alpha is the beginning of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the end of the Greek alphabet. So Jesus is saying that I am the beginning and the end, the first of your days and the last of your nights. If you want to get real radical, if you want to get real close with the Lord, to pray in the morning, read the Word of God, pray in the evening, and read the Word of God. To get real radical about it. And I'll tell you what, I guarantee you, you'll be used by God. If you seek the Lord in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you'll be used. You'll be used. If you want to be used by God to make a difference in this world, to bring people to Jesus Christ, amen. Because He's given us everything to operate in His power. The Holy Spirit, the truth, the anointing. A lot of us have the anointing, but they don't know how to use it. In this last year, the Lord had taught me, use the gifts that I've given you. You've been seeking me for years for these gifts. I've given it to you. Use it. Well, how, Lord? Step into the anointing. See, it's like baptism. The Lord showed me it's like baptism. We don't wait for water to come upon us, right? But too many of us are waiting for something powerful to happen and say, oh Lord, now I got the gifts. No. We're to step into what He's given us. If you've sought it, and if you've been revived in the Spirit, you received the power of the Holy Spirit, and you know it, and you step into the anointing of God. It's always there. It's always there to be used to do the work of the Lord. And why in those priorities? Well, number one, God, when He created Adam and breathed life into his nostrils, what was the first thing Adam saw? The face of God. So God established a relationship with Adam first. So God is first. Then He established family second. How do you do that? By creating Eve from the rib out of the side of Adam. Family. And then they had offspring after their sin, but they had offspring after that. Cain and Abel and Seth and had daughters. That's from Genesis chapter 2 through chapter 4. Amen. Glory to God. So family second. And then church was established fourth. It really was. It's through the Ten Commandments. God has given church law to the Jewish people, the congregation. The Old Testament never said church, but said congregation. Amen? The assembly. Glory to God. So He's given church and state law, the Ten Commandments, to the Jewish people. That established congregation, that established church today. Amen? Glory to God. And then work was established third because of curse. Work is not supposed to be a blessing, it's supposed to be a curse. You will work all the days of your life by the sweat of your brow and get little. Aren't we doing that right now? Sweating the brow and getting little. That's curse. That never was the blessing. That was established third, but because of argument's sake, most pastors won't say, well, I don't want church to be last priority, because church is important, and it is. So therefore, church is third priority. Work is last priority. And then God at the end of the day as well. Hallelujah. So getting our priorities straight, and once we got it all straight, guess what? God will use us. Amen. Grounded and rooted in the Lord. Psalms chapter 1, starting in verse 1, how to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. You can't live this life without God, the Holy Spirit, and without the Word of God. If you think you can do it on your own, it's impossible. You must know the Word of God and to do it. Amen. You must learn from the Lord. You must learn from the Holy Spirit to walk in the Spirit of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God speaks audibly and in His Word. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It says, blessed is he who do these things. Blessed means happy, to be complete. Amen. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, meaning do not take ungodly counsels to those who don't know God. You don't ask a sinner, a heathen who don't know God, what do you think about the Bible? They don't care. They don't know. How many of us are taking too much counsel with Oprah Winfrey? That just popped in my mind. Whew. Do not take worldly, ungodly counsel who don't know God. Amen? This is the best counsel, the Word of God. The best counsel, to do things God's way. Amen? The blessed is he who not walketh in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. People who don't want to hear God and His Word, let them go. Move on. At the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 22, it says, let those who are sinful, let them be sinful. Let them who is righteous, let them be righteous. Do not stand in their way, because they'll tear you to pieces. They even might bring doubt to you about your faith in Jesus Christ if you stand in their way. So do not go by that way. Do not stand in their way. Let them go if they don't want to hear it. Move on. It's like Jesus had taught. Do not cast your pearls before swine, because they will trample it underfoot, turn around and tear you to pieces. They will. God won't waste His time on them. Neither should we. That's why He commanded us, do not cast your pearls before swine. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Do not be scornful. Do not be bitter. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, in the instructions of the Lord, the direction of the Lord. Amen? He delights in His Word, is what He's saying here. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and His law doth He meditate day and night. We meditate on His Word day and night. See, we read His Word in the morning, and we read His Word at night, Lord God. And in between those sessions of reading the Scriptures and studying the Scriptures, we meditate on what we've read. Learning how to walk like Jesus has walked. Amen? Committed. Meditates on His Word day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth the fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he doth shall prosper. That's a fact. A tree that's planted by the river is never thirsty. The Word of God is the living water. Jesus is the Word of God in manifest in flesh, according to John chapter 1. Therefore, He is the living water. And it's a fact. The Word of God is our living water. We shall not thirst if we stay in His Word. And we'll be planted like a tree by the water, meaning deeply rooted and grounded, that anything that comes your way, you will not fall. Your leaves shall not wither. You shall not falter. You shall not compromise. Because you know the Lord, and you know His Word, and you know His righteous requirements to live the new life in Jesus Christ. Amen? Glory to God. You don't want to compromise when you really have a touch and a taste of the Lord to see how good He is. Amen? Praise the Lord. To be grounded and rooted. And how do we become grounded and rooted? First, commitment. Reading the Word of God. Second, praying. Having fellowship with God. That's how we become grounded and rooted in the Lord. And it's a process. It's like a baby. A baby doesn't know how to walk as soon as it gets out of the womb. It's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, no, no, no. You go from laying down, sleeping all the time, and how the brain develops in their sleep. Amen? Hallelujah. And then they sit up. When they sit up, they learn to crawl. They learn to crawl. Eventually, they'll walk. It's exactly the same way spiritually in the Lord. It takes time. It really does. I don't want to discourage people. It's a learning process. It is. Hallelujah. Because we all have a calling of some sort. You may not be called as a pastor or a teacher or a prophet or an evangelist, because not all are called to do that. The Bible tells us that fact in 1 Corinthians. Not all are called into that kind of ministry, but we're all called to minister the gospel to somebody. Amen. We're all called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, a representative of Him. Amen. Not just in our walk and our talk, but also in the power of faith. We can't forget that. Oftentimes we neglect that part. It's like, well, we got to live right, and we got to talk right, and but you also have to have powerful faith, like Jesus did. Jesus had even promised us, greater works He will do than these, because I go to my Father. Greater works than you see me do, Jesus says. Hallelujah. And He laid hands and even breathed on the disciples, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know? Peter's mother-in-law had a fever. What did Jesus do? He didn't say a word. Just laid hands on that person, and the fever left him that very moment. Glory to God. Amen. When a centurion from the Roman Empire came, says, my servant is sick. Oh, let me come to your house. Oh, no, no, no. Lord, It's not lawful for a Jew to enter a Gentile's home to speak the word and he will be healed. Faith. The centurion believed that God can heal him without even being present. And Jesus spoke a word and that his servant was healed that very hour. That's faith! Amen? Glory to God. To be used like that by God. It takes commitment. Faithfulness. After being grounded and rooted, faithfulness is being loyal, reliable, having the power to lay down our life and learn from Jesus. And that's what we must do. It says, if anyone desires to come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and to follow me. Amen? These are for people who stayed in camp way too long and has not discerned that God has already started to move. You've got to move with him. If anyone desires to come after me, desires. Let him deny himself, pick up his cross, and to follow me, Jesus says. Second Chronicles, I'm closing, it talks about faithfulness. Hezekiah's life starts in the book of Second Chronicles, chapter 29. He was one of the few kings that walked right in the sight of God. Many Jewish kings had sinned against God, has caused Israel to bow down and worship false gods they did not know. Jesus says, you'll neither worship on this mountain or that mountain, but we know what we worship. We know. We know what we worship. The Jewish people in the Old Testament didn't know what they were worshiping. They were worshiping Satan in the form of Asherah, you know, or the form of Baal, an imaginary god. And they forsook and they turned their back on the one true God, the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, our Father of Jesus Christ. Amen. But this is one of the few kings that actually got it right. Amen. And in his day, the temple of the living God was broken down. They could not even get into the temple because the doors were broken down. So Hezekiah ordered the priests and the Levites to fix up the holy temple of God, the house of God. And when that happened, a revival actually broke out. And people started to have feast days again, because that was long forgotten, right? To honor the Lord, to come back to Him. And they did in Hezekiah's time. But in chapter 31, starting in verse 18, and it says, and to the genealogies of all their little ones, their wives and their sons and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office they sanctified themselves in holiness. When they realize that they're wrong in the Lord, they forsake everything. All those sinful things, all the worshiping of false gods, I'm going to sanctify myself, get myself right and ready for the service of the Lord. And they did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it continues on. Also of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were in the fields of the suburbs of their cities, in every several cities, and the men that were expressed by name to give portions to all the males of the priests and to all that were reckoned by the genealogies among the Levites. And I'm talking about the law and the portions of the priests, the tithes and so forth. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judea and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in service of the house of God and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. He saw the fall of Israel, the whole nation, and he would not compromise. Commit. Make it right by restoring the house of God to worship in it and to command the people to worship the Lord their God. And he did. Amen. Hallelujah. Commitment. He didn't compromise. He wasn't going to. Even if he was going to be the one and only person that will love God with all of his heart and no one else, I know he would not have compromised. Because it tells us all right here, the very ending of his days as king. He only reigned for 29 years. Amen. Glory to God. That's faithfulness. That's being loyal, reliable, having the power to lay down his life. Amen. To pick up the cross and follow the Lord, to be used by God. Hallelujah. Because that's what maturing is all about. Growing in the Lord without compromising. We don't have to compromise. If you have a relationship in your heart with God, you don't want to compromise. Amen? We do fall short of the glory of God sometimes. We do flesh out, we do laze out sometimes when we become weary in doing good. Or how the enemy comes to weary us. and throw in the towel, if you will. But in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it tells us what we must do this very last day and hour. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and from temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because it says, if you do these things, for if these things be in you and abound, then you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he has been purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. If you're committed to Jesus Christ, you'll never fall if you stay abiding in Him. Do these things that is mentioned here. Add to your faith, virtue, virtue, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, knowledge, wisdom, glory to God. And to do those things, hallelujah, you shall never stumble or fall. That's guaranteed. God's Word doesn't lie. But we got to be committed, amen? Thank you, Lord. If we're committed, loving the Lord from the heart, because it starts from the heart. That's what true Christianity looks like. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and even self-control. Hallelujah. But that's true Christianity. That comes from the heart when we're born again. Amen? Hallelujah. So loving the Lord and honoring the Lord, because in John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love is not just a word. Oh, I love you, Lord. It's action. And it's action. Honoring the Lord by His Word. You shall prosper and you will never stumble. Amen? That's God's promise. But it should never be the basis of repentance. Too many new Christians today, I see it in the Spirit, they come to repentance because we're preaching that prosperity gospel. Oh, you'll be blessed if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, I want to be blessed. I'm broke. I'm poor, broken, busted, and disgusted. I'll come to the Lord if He'll prosper me. That should never be the basis of our repentance. Our basis of repentance is, I'm a sinner and a heathen and I need God. I'm going to hell without. And so therefore, we're seeing the church falling away. Because they're coming in because of feelings. Great concert. They call it worship. Great concert. I feel... woohoo! Yeah! I feel happy. I'm going to come to the Lord, get blessed and prospered until a trial comes their way and they fall away. Jesus even mentioned that about a seed on certain types of ground. On stony ground are those who hear the word with gladness, right? But when a trial comes or when the cares of the world chokes the word of God from their life, they fall away and they never come back. And that's what we're seeing. Our basis of repentance should be, I want to know you, God. I want to walk like you had walked, Lord. I know that where I'm going isn't right. That should be the basis of our repentance, amen? And to know the Lord and the fellowship of His suffering of being conformed unto His death. Hallelujah. Because we'll be blessed if we're obedient to the Lord. The Word of God is to stir us up to be committed to the Lord. Amen. And do an altar call. Hallelujah. And I believe everyone should come to the altars. Because I sense that the Lord has ministered to you about something that needs improvement or needs to be laid down or something. Or, Lord, I didn't do that. Forgive me. Amen. Whatever it is that the Lord is ministering to you about, I've been praying that the Lord would speak to every individual in here what we can do better next year, this coming year, in a couple days. Hallelujah. To start a committed walk if you've never started one. Amen. Or it needs encouragement. The altars are not just here for repentance. It's to keep us right and ready for the Lord's appearance. Amen. Let's come to the altars and pray for a little while. Hallelujah. And ask the Lord, even to seek the Lord for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be used by God. You know, if you have not asked that yet, glory to God. Hallelujah. I praise You, Lord Jesus. I glorify Your holy name, Lord God, for Your Word. I pray, Father God, that you stir us up, Lord God, to start seeking you, to be used by God. Hallelujah. To be trained by you, Lord God, to teach us your ways, your holy ways, Lord God. To be committed to you, Lord Jesus. To be committed without compromise, to learn your ways, Lord God. To learn your word, Lord God. To be committed to read your word day and night, Lord God. I praise you, Father God, so much. I pray that you touch everyone in here, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It's truly seeking you, Father God. To give them an experience, Lord God. To stir them up, Lord God. Stir us up, Lord Jesus, to good works, Lord God. To open up doors for ministry, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Where there was no way before, that there be a way this year, Lord God, miraculously, that your Holy Spirit, hallelujah, come into our midst to prepare the way for us to minister your gospel into the hearts of sinners and heathens who don't know you, Lord God. To be used by you, Father God, with the gifts of your Holy Spirit, with the fire and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. The demonstration of the power of God to preach this gospel with the demonstration of signs, wonders, and miracles, Lord God, this year, Lord Jesus, use us, Lord God, in such a mighty and powerful way, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, so much for your word, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Seek the gifts, to seek you, Lord God, to come to you, Lord Jesus. Have fellowship with you, Father God. Stir us up, Lord God. Give us a new hunger and a new thirst for your word, to learn from you, Lord God. Speak to us audibly, Lord God, when we're in the danger zone, sinning against you or falling short, Lord God, becoming lazy or camping too long, Lord. But give us, Lord God, a hunger and a thirst for your word. Draw closer to you in your relationship with us and we with you, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, to use us, Lord God, in such a mighty way. Give us an anointing, Lord. Hallelujah. Give us an anointing, Lord God. Hallelujah. For this year to come, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Father God. Oh, I praise you, Lord Jesus. Teach us, Lord God, what commitment is in our personal walk with you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Father God. Use us, Lord God. We're just instruments in your hands, Lord God. Instruments of righteousness in your hands, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God.